Okay, so Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he'd considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Thanks very much, Heather. Do keep that passage open. We're going to look briefly at it together, thinking about the meaning of Christmas. But as we do that, I want us to imagine in our own minds that time in your life where you were longing for something, waiting for something, and then when it came as a surprise and sort of shattered all your plans. So you can sort of imagine a scenario like a girl who's been longing for a puppy since she was five. She's been reading books about puppies, she's looked at pictures of puppies and videos of them and drawn them and imagined them, and then on her 11th birthday, she gets a puppy. And it's beautiful, and she loves it, but the next morning, she has to get up out of bed early to take this puppy for a little walk, and she has to take care of the potty training aspect of a puppy. And then the puppy can't be left alone. Puppies are very needy, they need someone around all the time, and her mum's out on Saturday, and she has to stay home with the puppy and can't go out with her friends like she'd planned beforehand. This puppy that she'd longed for so long comes, and it's brilliant, and it shatters all her plans. Her life now changes because of it. And that's the idea we need to have as we read the Christmas story, as we consider particularly Joseph getting the news about Jesus. For this baby, this noisy new neighbour, was both long desired and a life-changing shock. So the first thing to understand is that this baby is the one everyone longs for. That longing is expressed in Matthew's account of Jesus' birth in terms of Jewish expectation. They have promises from God over hundreds of years, which mean they are expecting God to do things for them with this special child. But the promises are not just for Israel. They speak to the longings of every human heart. And there are three titles or names that tell us why this baby is the one everyone longs for. And the first is Messiah. You can find it in verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. And that word Messiah, it's not talking about a footballer who scores a few more goals that helps you to win the league. It means God's promised king. For hundreds of years, God has been making promises to Israel, to his people, that a king would come. And that was good news for them. They were often oppressed by surrounding people, or else their own kings would oppress them. And they're longing for a leader who's truly good, for a hero who would rule rightly and drive out the corrupt and oppressive, who'd bring in peace. And we all long for that. We all long for someone greater than us, who we could follow and trust, and who can achieve what we can't achieve. It's why from a very young age as human beings, we hero worship. It might be an older sibling, a person at school. It might be a superhero or a vlogger or a footballer or a film star. We find someone who we look up to and who we put our hope in. That's how we're made. We long to have someone who will put things right, someone who we could truly trust to guide us through life and make it work. And Matthew's claim, when he gives this title to Jesus, Messiah, is he's saying, this is the one. This is the king God has promised to rule and put things right. He's the hero we've all been longing for. The one that you could follow even into the jaws of death, because he will get you through. and he won't let you down. He'll never exploit you, never fail you. Of course, that's a huge claim for Matthew to make. And at the start of the gospel, all he says is, Jesus the Messiah. He doesn't provide the evidence yet. I'd encourage you to read through one of the accounts of Jesus' life to find the rest of the evidence that he really is this amazing king. It's not just based on the Christmas story. It's based on what he does when he grows up and does amazing things, teaches amazing things, dies, and is raised from the dead. So the first thing is that he's the king. The second thing is found in the name that he has, verse 21. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. He's called Jesus, which means the Lord saves. That's a name that exists in the Old Testament as well. It's my name. Joshua in the Old Testament means the Lord saves. But my name is just a sort of hope. He's called Jesus because he actually is the one who is going to save. And Matthew is quite specific. Jesus isn't going to come, first of all, to save us from the injustices and wickedness out there, the things that other people are doing to us. He comes to deal with the wickedness in our hearts. He will save his people from their sins. Now, that word sin has rather fallen out of fashion, but it describes a reality we all know. We are not the people we would want to be. And worse than that, we are not the people we would want to be, not because of faults out there, but also, at least in part, because of faults inside us. There's something in us that makes us selfish, deceptive, manipulative, proud and greedy, even if we'd like to be loving and truthful and kind. And we all know this, if we're being honest. The Russian author Solzhenitsyn, having been unjustly imprisoned in the Soviet Gulag camps, wrote this. If only it were so simple, if only there were evil people somewhere insidiously committing evil deeds, and it were necessary only to separate them from the rest of us and destroy them. But the line dividing good and evil cuts through the heart of every human being. And who is willing to destroy a piece of his own heart? That's the problem. For God's people, the Jews back then, for all of us now, we have evil in our hearts. And Jesus came to save people from their sins. This evil in our hearts means God is rightly going to judge us. He is perfectly good. He's not going to allow this evil into his presence any more than we would allow dog poo into a Christmas pudding. It is disgusting to him. It would ruin everything. And so without help, we face judgment. We face God saying, no, you're not good enough. No, you're not right. And the good news of Jesus, the good news of Christmas, is he came to deal with our sin so that we can be right with God. To see how, you'd have to read on through Matthew's gospel to the cross, where Jesus somehow, you'd have to read on and look at it, deals with our sin so that we can be right with God. Well, this noisy baby, he's God's king, he's the rescuer from sin, and thirdly, Emmanuel. God with us. Verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. What we've seen already, it would be amazing enough. He's a king who will put things right. He's a rescuer who will deal with our sin, but he's God come to live with us. Our suspicion, our dark suspicion, is that the universe is cold and merciless, and if there is a God, if there is a mind, it doesn't care about us, but most likely there isn't anything. It's just meaningless. So we have to make our own path in life. We have to make our own happiness, our own meaning while we can. But this baby is Emmanuel, God with us. And that's a sign that at the heart of reality is not meaninglessness or indifference, but love. A God of love who desires to know us. For God is what everyone is longing for, even though they don't realize it. Because only God is good enough, beautiful enough, glorious enough, living enough, everlasting enough to satisfy our souls. He's what we're made for. And we go through life looking for joy and meaning and satisfaction elsewhere. But this is the life that God has come to give us as Emmanuel. An African theologian long ago, Augustine, expressed it like this. You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. And Emmanuel shows us that we can rest in God. We can know that God because God has come as one of us. He's the one everyone longs for. But when he turns up, he messes up all our plans. Think about Joseph. Matthew is written from Joseph's perspective. Luke's account of the birth of Jesus is written from Mary's perspective. There's a kind of equality there. But here we're following Joseph's account. And Joseph, he's a devout Jew. He's been longing all his life for this Messiah, this King, this Saviour, this Emmanuel to come. He probably prayed for it every day. God, send this rescuer. And no doubt, he's also longed for a wife. And now he sees this lady Mary and he thinks, I'd really like her to be my wife. And she's agreed. He's absolutely thrilled that they're engaged. He's getting the house ready and the supplies for the wedding party. And then he hears earth-shattering news. Mary is pregnant. And Joseph knows what that means. He knows basic biology. Babies need a mummy and daddy. He's not the daddy. So Mary's betrayed him. The account tells us the sign of how good he is that even in his heartbrokenness and probably anger, he doesn't want to proclaim to everyone and disgrace Mary. He's just going to break it all off quietly. But then the angel comes and says, this baby is the special one you've been waiting for. Your prayers have been answered, but it's going to make a bit of a mess of your life. A rushed wedding. A wait till normal married life, a whiff of scandal around him. Verse 24, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. He took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. It's as if God says to him, the one you longed for to rescue Israel has come much more personally than you expected, Joseph. You thought he'd be over there sorting out the problems over there. He's come into the midst of your life and plans. He affects your marriage and your intimacy, your finances and your reputation. And that's the message we need to understand this morning. Jesus is truly good news. He's the one everyone has been longing for. But to receive him as good news, you have to receive him into your life. You have to say, you can be God of my life. And when that happens, it can mess up our plans. It's the good and challenging news of Christmas. There's one who meets all our deepest needs and hopes, better than we would have imagined. But to receive him means letting him in, to let him be king and God and rescuer. And that means he may mess up our plans. Now, it may be that all of this seems really new and rushed. And we'd love for you to investigate more. We recognize that in a very short talk, we've only just scratched the surface of this and made some amazing claims. So there's a couple of ways you could do that. One is you could read a gospel account. We have some Mark's Gospels if you want to read Mark's Gospel. It's another account. If you want to keep on reading in Matthew, then you can find Bibles online, BibleGateway.com, and you can read through Matthew's account of Jesus' life and say, I'm going to keep reading through to see how he is this rescuer. Is there evidence for him being this king? Equally, you're welcome to keep coming to these Sunday mornings as we continue into the new year, where we'll carry on looking at Matthew's gospel and other parts of the Bible to see more of who Jesus is. But we also want to start a Christianity Explored course in the new year. So if you're interested in saying, I just want to get the basic building blocks of what Christianity is about, and I've got a whole bunch of questions, then this is the course for you. Do let me know that you're interested, and we're going to see if we can get a few people interested, what time would work for them. So if you're at all interested in that, please speak to me or email me. There's an email there. But for all of us, the good news of Christmas rings out this morning. There's a king, there's a rescuer. God himself has come to be with us if we will receive him into our lives, if we'll let him be God, regardless of how much he throws our plans into disorder. So let's just pray for a moment. Let's thank God for that gift and welcome him in before we sing a final song. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you did come. You came into this world of absolute mess. You came into a world where you knew you would suffer so that we could know God, so that we could be put right, so that we could live forever with you. Thank you for your love that you came to us. Thank you that you ensured we would know about it through the Bible. And help each one of us this Christmas to welcome you in and let you rule and put things right, even if it means changing our plans. Amen.